Our new series is called Truths from Ephesians. So we're going to be moving on from what we've been thinking about in terms of shalom. And we've heard about the kind of wholeness and well-being that God intends for us. And so now from that kind of place of peace, we want to hear what God has to say to us next. So we're going to be looking, first of all, at the first couple of chapters of Ephesians. So we're going to be focusing in on chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. And it's going to be a kind of deep dive kind of a series. So we are going to be diving into the things that Paul has to say about Jesus and about our life in him and with him. And we want to give a really good time, a good amount of time to that, and to really reflect and respond on what God is saying to us, what we're hearing from him. We want to hear what he has to say. And this is more of a kind of heart series, I guess, than a head one in that respect. So why this series? So the senior leaders have been thinking about what God has been saying to us. And so this series is actually in part a response in itself to what God has already said. So during our prayer week, there were some prophetic words that we really felt we wanted to respond to as a church. So one of those was about God wanting our hearts. So God said to us, I want your heart. And so this series is in part a response to that. And also about this being a kind of time of active waiting for us. So we're waiting to hear from God what the next steps are for our church. And as we do that, we don't want to just kind of sit back. We want to be actively seeking him during that time. Giving him our hearts together. So our hope and our aim for this series is that as we read the word, our minds will be full of truth and that our hearts will be full of praise. And we're hoping that as we spend time dwelling in the word, we're going to let it do its thing in us. It's about letting God do something in the way we think, how we see the world, how we see ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, in a way that moves us to respond. And it's a kind of upward looking series. So just to give you a little bit more of an idea about what it might look like. We're going to be looking at God together. We're going to be dwelling in his word. We're going to be considering who he is and his ways. And as we do that, our minds are going to get filled with all these great truths about who God is and what he says about us. And as we do that, we really want to spend time thinking about that deeply, letting it dwell in us, letting it do something in us, allowing it to kind of seep in as we meditate on it. And as we do that, I think that our hearts will fill up with praise and we will want to respond to God as we hear what he's saying. Now, we are an active kind of church. That's the kind of people we are. We want to serve those around us. We want to see, lives transformed. And, there are lots of people around us who are doing that too. And I think one of the things that makes us different is that we are a worshipping community. We don't just come together to do stuff. We come together because of our love for God. We all love God and we love him together. And that's what makes us different. And we gather because of him, for him. And we sing, we are here for you. Don't we? And so this series is about us refocusing on him and giving him our hearts together. So I'm going to hand over to Mark so that we can spend some time doing that now, and then we'll come back to hear some more detail from me. I'm just going to share something for us all to think more about this listening together now.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now, Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Now, that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son, and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because, she says, the Lord has Shama'ad, that I am unloved. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema, Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, I will listen and do what you say, you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, they have ears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word Shema.
Okay, I'm sorry that you had 2 weeks in a row of the Bible Project, but they are brilliant and we love them. So that is the kind of listening that we want to be doing as we read through the first couple of chapters of Ephesians together in this series. So I'm going to give you a little bit more information about how that's going to look. So let me share that again. So hopefully you can see that. So this is God's kind of listening, this Shema listening to God, which is the kind of way where it does something in us. It does something to us. And we then live that out. We live in the reality of it. So it's the listening he was talking about, paying attention to, focusing on, and the other side of that coin being doing and acting and responding and obeying. So this is the kind of listening, really intentional, really intent listening we want to do to what God is saying through the letter to the Ephesians. So we are, of course, in doing this, totally on track with the Bible. There are many people in the Bible who spend this kind of devoted listening time with God. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, after the visits from the shepherds and all those guys at the beginning of the story of Jesus' kind of birth story, she treasures up and ponders the things that have been said by God, by others, the things that have happened. She treasures them up and she ponders them in her heart. There are many examples through scripture of God telling his people to meditate on the law. So on the law means here, you know, the Bible, basically, to put it in a really clunky way. But keep this book of the law, so keep the Bible, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So you can see this kind of listening happening here. And what's really interesting to me as well about this particular instance when God says this is that it's just as Joshua is getting ready to take the promised land. So he, a bit like us, is just about to take some new steps, to go to a new place, to do a new thing, following what God is saying to him, directed by God. And that active kind of waiting that we were talking about, as we wait as a church for what's next for us, we want to be doing what God suggests to Joshua, to meditate on his law, to keep that really close to our hearts and our minds as we think about what's next. And letting the word dwell in us. So let the message or the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So as we let that word dwell in us, then our response is to sing, or to respond in a non-singy way, possibly, for those of us who can't carry a tune, with gratitude in our hearts. So what's this going to look like? Well, the first part of a Sunday morning will look kind of similar. So the first part of the talk will be kind of reading the passages, drawing out truths from the text that lead us into worship. So we'll be thinking about what the verses say and talking about that a little bit. And we'll have the kind of usual suspects of musical worship to respond together and to use songs to praise God. And we will have the creative resources alongside, which complement the focus of whatever the verses are about that week, and invite a kind of worship response for the kids, but also for others who enjoy creative stuff. And then we will move into a second time, and this second part will be a little bit different. So that is going to be a time of guided reflection, of space to meditate more deeply on the verses and on the truths that have come out of them. So you may remember when Karina did a session for us on taking notice as part of our wellbeing series. And she asked Dave to do a kind of short presentation that was really helpful and really creative and helped us to respond and to do just that, to take notice, to slow down and think about what Karina had been saying, to spend time with God together and to respond to what he'd said, guided by some of those kind of thoughts and prompts from Dave. So that's the kind of thing that we're going to be doing some more of during this series. So we'll have prompts to help us consider what we've heard and to dwell on the truths that we've been reading about. So very similar to that kind of thing, the time just to take some space to step back, and rather than just rushing on with the rest of our day, to really let what we've heard seep in and to give God our hearts as he has asked us to. Now, one of the things that we have done in preparation for this series as well is recorded a conversation between myself, Chris and Cheryl, just to look at the kind of background of Ephesians. So the cultural context, the historical background, that kind of stuff. And I would really highly recommend taking a look at that. I think it's about the 20 minute mark. I can't remember exactly. But it would really help to kind of set what Paul is saying in context, because when we understand the people who it's written to and the kind of world they lived in, then that really helps us to get more from what the text is saying. So that's my first recommendation. And I think that's going to go out on an email today and should be available on YouTube as well later. And my second recommendation is came out of that conversation, actually, which was that Chris and Jan Halls managed to read the whole of Ephesians out loud in 22 minutes. So for those of you who are competitive like me, you might want to try and read it quicker, although I don't know whether you'll get as much out of it. But what I'm saying is it's a super quick book to read. So if you can, read the whole of Ephesians. If you can't, read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and that will really set you up for being in that place ready to listen and to kind of read a bit more deeply with us during this time. So can I recommend that to you? And I'm looking forward to us spending this time really listening with that kind of focused attention on God and waiting to hear what he wants to say to us and being ready to respond to that together. So I'm gonna hand over to you, Karina, and I will look forward to joining you all, starting with Matt next week.